RNIB provides a vast range of services to help improve the day-to-day lives of blind and partially sighted people. A major part of that is giving assistance when people are giving the diagnosis that they are losing their sight, and it's a crucial time for intervention. Now, Joe Hill is an ECLO or Eye Clinic Liaison Officer, and it's her job to do just that by giving support and advice at the greatest point of need. Jo, how did you get involved in the job in the first place?
Probably about 3 years ago, I was fully sighted, working full-time, looking after house and home, driving to and from work, and generally having a very full life. And I woke up one morning with patchy vision in one eye, which I thought perhaps just maybe had a bit of grit in my eye and I couldn't see terribly well. But as the days progressed, it got steadily worse and worse. And I went to the optician, who then sent me to the eye clinic. They thought I was presenting with multiple sclerosis, MS. And I was told to go away and come back again in 8 weeks' time. Now, that's not to say the consultant didn't know what she was talking about, but I had to go and see a neuro-ophthalmologist to really get the full diagnosis. And when he saw the condition of my eyes, he thought it was an optic nerve condition, a crowded nerve situation, and it wouldn't happen in the other eye. And to cut a long story short, it did happen in the other eye, and I had patchy vision in that eye too, and it just declined over 10 days. And I have something called non-arteritic ischemic optic neuropathy, which is NAION for short, N-A-I-O-N, and it's not very common. But it doesn't really happen to women under the age of 55 who have low cholesterol. It tends to be the opposite. So what happened was, when the second eye was very quickly in decline, I was admitted to the Eye Pavilion in Edinburgh. I was given steroids intravenously. And it was at that point that I connected with the ECLO at the eye hospital. I didn't know it existed. I remember speaking to a nurse saying, "I'm really upset. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to go blind." I was really scared and worried, and she said, "I know the very person. We have someone working for the RNIB upstairs, and she'll come down in the morning and have a chat with you." And that was the lifesaver moment when she came down and I had somebody to talk to. So I had her on my side for my eye journey for the next wee while. And in answer to your question, why did I want to take this job or seek this job or apply for this job? The answer is I knew how much that person had helped me. And I jumped to the opportunity to be able to give back both to the RNIB, but also to all the other people who are experiencing this sight loss experience and the journey that they're going to go through.
I suppose unless you're actually in the situation where you're losing your sight, you can't really understand, probably first and foremost, the emotional impact that that has.
Yes, the emotional impact is very strong. Bear in mind, I was 52, working full-time with two quite young children, aged 9 and 12, and suddenly couldn't drive them to their friends' houses or to their clubs. And suddenly, within about a week, I couldn't read school notes coming back from the schools. And it was just a whole issue of problems or barriers, I thought, that I was going to come across. And the emotional side is, well, where do you stand in your relationship? It's huge, because my husband had to then kick in and start driving around and doing the shopping. And I felt I couldn't do anything to begin with. But you soon quickly learn that you adapt and you do start doing things for yourself. But it's very, very easy to feel very isolated and alone.
Would it be fair to say you never thought about how important a part your eyesight plays in your everyday life?
Well, I think that would be very fair to say. I just accepted that all my senses were there and they were always going to be there till the day I died, probably. And I've never had any issue with any of them. And it was just a really strange feeling that I felt I wasn't myself. I was locked in somebody else's body. And I remember lying on the sofa most days for the first wee while, because I had gone through quite a trauma. And I remember looking at the mantelpiece and the clock on the mantelpiece. I could see no problem before. And I kept looking at it every day thinking, can I see the hands of the clock today? And the next day, can I see the hands of the clock any better or any worse? I was terrified it was just going to get worse and worse and worse. Fortunately, it stabilized. But I worked around how to see the clock hands. I can't look directly at the clock hands. I've got to look slightly to the left or up or round or down, because it's a patchy vision that I have. It's like being in a steam room, maybe, when you can't see across the other side of the room to the person who's really only 3 or 4 feet away from you.
Being fully sighted before, you probably never thought there were maybe services, support, or technology that could help you do pretty much all the things that you've done before. And that's something which is fair to say, again, it is what the vast amount of people who go to eye clinics and losing their sight are thinking, and that's where the echo comes in.
Yes, everything's I can't do it, and I can no longer see, and it's getting away from that negative language. Instead of thinking can't, it's like I have maybe difficulty in reading, or I have difficulty in seeing. And there are enormous amount of services available to people from technology, and technology includes talking clocks and talking watches and talking microwaves, right through to using smartphones, iPads and computers. And the services that are there are wonderful to make it as easy as possible for everyone with sight loss to engage with. It might seem scary to think, oh, I've never used a phone in my life, but how would I know how to use a smartphone? There are ways and means of doing almost everything. The accessibility features that are written into the phones and tablets and microwaves. I mean, I'd never heard of a talking microwave before I started working with the RNIB. I could also name the welfare rights team. Is fantastic. You know, once you have sight loss, you're maybe eligible for attendance allowance. You may be eligible for PIP if you're working age. Maybe you've never ever engaged with the benefit system before. But if you have earned money and you've put money into the system, then why not take the money out?
Absolutely.
You're absolutely deservedly. You have every right to take it.
We could probably talk for hours about the help and the support and, you know, the equipment and so on that's out there to help you if you are losing your sight, because it is vast. But, you know, when you're in ECLO mode and someone that is in the clinic and they're losing their sight and they're referred to you, where do you start with something like that? Because, you know, you know what's going through people's minds. It must be a bit of a minefield.
It is sometimes quite challenging, because I'm not a trained counsellor, but we do say we offer emotional support and then practical advice. I do meet patients who have been given sudden news that their sight is deteriorating and they're a little bit in shock. So the most important thing is to let the people talk. You've got to talk about what's happened, how it's led up to this. It's listening, being empathetic. Patients really feel that they're being understood and listened to. And we are able to give patients, our clients, the space to talk for as long as they want to talk. And there are some consultants that are quite good at the compassionate side, but the majority, it's a very busy eye clinic. They talk about the medical side, and that's more or less their job. They pass people on to us, refer them into us, because we have the time to sit and really get to know the person and be much more holistic about how we help people. We can guide them gently to maybe a service like a low vision assessment or having a home visit. These are sort of things they might want to engage with early on. They might not want to anything early on, just someone to talk to. And then there are other patients that come in and say, yes, I want to take everything, any kind of help that can be given to me. So I'm maybe referring to the counselling service, or maybe referring to the Living with Sight Loss course. There are some people who want to talk and take anything on board, and others who just need to get a little bit off their chest. But yes, it's at a very emotional stage people are going through, and they're worried about finances, and they'd be worried about relationships, and how am I going to do this, and how am I going to do that? So yes, having gone through it and gone through the professional training in ECLO services, we can direct everybody to hopefully the right place.
You touched on a point a couple of times actually, Jo, which is probably quite an important one to raise. You're talking about the individual and the effects it's having on their lives, but that effect ripples out to family and friends as well.
Yes, my mum couldn't get over the fact that I'd become half blind. I said, Mum, I don't want to be called half blind. So there's terminology that we all needed to learn, whether we call it sight loss or visually impaired or whatever it is you want to use. I wasn't very pleased or happy with half blind. You know, through time, we got to understand what was acceptable. And relationships with my kids, my 12-year-old was going through her own life changes, hormones kicking in. My 9-year-old, she was very understanding, actually. She really wanted to help me, and she looked at bus timetables for me, and she checked the back of packaging for me, and she was very supportive. I think the most challenging thing was probably for my husband. because we'd been very equal in our relationship, doing everything 50-50. And I felt that he was now taking over a little bit more of the family role of looking after everybody. And I think it was stressing him a lot. That was the initial phase, I would say. I think through time, I became more independent. I said, no, I can do this now. And I wanted to do it. I did ask for help to be shown how to do something. And then I thought, no, I need to do it myself and stop worrying about me going out. I can walk down the street. He did worry about me a lot. So I felt that I was being ever so slightly patronized and being treated like a child. But that was just his natural way of his coming to terms with the situation of my sight loss.
When you're talking to people for the first time as an ECLO, do you think the fact that you have a visual impairment yourself almost embellishes what you're telling them, gives you a bit more credence?
I wouldn't like to think that because I have a visual impairment makes the role that I have any better for me over any of my fellow ECLOs, fellow colleagues that don't have a sight impairment. I think we all do a really good job. So I don't really promote it when I'm chatting to someone, but it's sometimes quite obvious that because there's nothing visual by looking at me, you wouldn't notice. Mm. And I don't walk with a cane. However, does it really help? I think maybe sometimes they halfway through an interaction or chat with a patient and they learn that I have a visual impairment. They maybe are slightly inspired that I'm now working and working full time. They ask me questions about how do you use the computer and how do you manage it all. So it can be part of the conversation if we're moving on to maybe technology. I think it probably does motivate and inspire some people, but I wouldn't say that my colleagues who are sighted do any less of a job.
R&IB would obviously love to have ECLOs in all eye clinics to be there at such a crucial point to offer that intervention, that advice, that help and support. Now, to the clinicians where you work, what does your post mean to them? Do you ever hear from them what they think about having you there?
Yes, it's a very big eye hospital in Edinburgh, and we have loads and loads of consultants, nursing staff, optometrists and orthoptists who refer patients into our service. So they know very much. We are embedded into the eye clinic. They know that we are there to help anyone who's struggling with emotional support, or if anyone asks questions that the consultants really don't feel it's their area to delve into. So yes, they speak to us a lot, and we process the registration certificate of visual impairment. So they are interacting with us a lot. There's a two-way dialogue. And it's not just the consultants. I say it's the secretaries and the receptionists and the admin staff, all the support workers, that we are very much embedded into the service of the clinic.
It is a job, and a hugely important job for you now, Joe, but what do you get from it?
Oh, I just love meeting people. It's extremely rewarding seeing someone come in who really maybe feels quite low, and after half an hour's chat, goes away saying, thank you so much for that. I didn't know that the R&IB was here. I didn't know about all these different services. You've really lifted my spirits, and thank you so much. So I get a lot of good, positive comments and compliments, and that is extremely rewarding. And I can just remember how important it was for me to have that one girl come and sit by my bedside and say, I can help you through this sight loss journey. And I'm able to help people because it's a relationship that you're starting with someone. People come back. It's a drop-in service, and the relationship will keep going, hopefully, over the years. And I love to see people being really empowered and keeping their independence with the help of the ECLO service. I do recommend everybody goes to the optician once a year and just checks the health of their eyes, no matter what the eye conditioner is. I still go to the optician. Even though I'm registered blind, I still have some sight, and I want my eyes to stay healthy. And it's a very good idea to keep going. Early intervention is very important.
Joe, best of luck with the ECLO post at the Edinburgh Eye Pavilion, and thank you for talking with us on R&IB Connect Radio.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Alan. Thank you very much for inviting me to talk.